T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Thank goodness we're here. Thank goodness we're here. We suck so you don't have to on Saturday Suckage. And What Mark Heard is all about what Mark heard. So, Mark, what did you heard?
Well, let's start with the guy that we were talking about before the break, and that is Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson, who was not a big part of the game against the Rams. And so I asked him about his frustrations and what can be done going forward to make Allen Robinson more Allen Robinson. Here he is.
Is it frustrating for you in that game when you can't create those big plays that you're used to creating?
At the same time, I won't say frustrating, because I think as anybody, you know, if you don't help contribute to a win, you know, then once you kind of go back and look at the tape, you know, you aren't happy with your own performance, or, you know, again, and as me being a leader on this offense, you know, obviously for myself, when I look back at a game like that, you know, and not being able to really, you know, whether if it's myself not being able to come away with plays or whatever the case may be able to really help contribute to us, you know, being able to get a W, that's more of, you know, the frustration, you know, just again with myself. I feel like it's a couple of plays I could have had back. Now, if those plays would have changed the game or not, you know, I don't know that, but still, you know, with stuff like that for me is I want to try to get, you know, and make every play, you know, every opportunity that I have.
Yeah, and we talk about bounce back, Steve. I mean, rarely in his Bears career has Allen Robinson had, you know, successive games where he has, you know, had under 50 yards and has really not been part of things. So, other than for the reasons that you and I discussed about going up against this defense, the one high safety and the press man and all that, I am expecting that Allen Robinson will be one of those Bears that will have the proverbial bounce back this tomorrow against the Bengals.
Well, you had mentioned that he was talking this week about that, the fact that Bengals play by playing man, there's more of a chance for them to be athletic, get open, and do something more than 10 yards downfield, right? That's the hope.
That is the hope. That is the hope. Did you just take a sip of your drink, by the way?
No, I was waiting for you.
Oh, okay, because I just took a sip of my drink, and that's why I paused, because I thought you were going to talk more, and I thought, well, I wonder if we both just took a sip of our drinks at the same time. No.
Okay.
It didn't happen.
We could toast, and then we could take a sip of our drinks. Suckage like it ought to be.
This sucks. Yeah, it really does.
It does. So I wanted to bring up the Tribune has done for years now 3-word reviews of the Bears game. And Dan Weiderer tweeted out last week after that debacle against the Rams, if you're still up for it, 3-word reviews, ? And one of the respondents on Twitter that Dan to Dan's question was Brandon Parker. He's the agent for Allen Robinson.
Uh-huh.
His 3-word review of Matt Nagy's disastrous offense was 16 more games.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? When we had Mark Potash on earlier, he was talking like the Eddie Jackson contract eating up that kind of money, and it really should be the Robert Quinn contract, and the way the defense eats money, that defensive line is making more than any defensive line in the NFL. that is where the money is, and they made zero difference in the game, especially on the ends. You had Robert Quinn showed up for half a sack, right? That's sort of like,
yep,
he's done for the year then. That's pretty much all he's going to give you. But when you see that, when Mark Potash seemed to indicate that those kind of contracts were something the Bears did not want to get into for certain, maybe certain positions. And wide receiver is vital to what they're going to do. But I've always thought the farther you are from the ball, the lower you were in the priority. I know quarterback's got to have someone to throw to, but the quarterback needs someone to needs protection first, and then come the tight ends and the running back, and so you go out from the ball. Do you get the feeling the Bears are, that's the kind of economics they're practicing, or is it just Ryan Pace can't handle a salary cap, and he also can't handle draft capital?
Well, you know, while you're talking about the defense and how they're paid, the word I'm thinking right now, it's if the Bears defense is more like what they were against the Rams last week than what they were like in 2018, their one elite year, the Bears are in a dangerous spot right now because there is no backup plan on defense. You know, the money men have been paid on that defense. There is no next man up. It is what it is. So the idea that the Bears defense can't carry the team is straight up dangerous for the existence of the 2021 season. Like, it could go backwards horribly if this is what they are, because they you know, I didn't have any problem with the Bears paying Eddie Jackson at the time. I don't have any problem with the Bears and paying Eddie Goldman as they did, Akeem Hicks, although he wants another contract, eventually Roquan Smith. But they are, because of it, they are in a dangerous spot right now with no backup plan.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, we'll find out. I just thought I'd bring that up, see if there was any change or if it was just sort of forced. Because, you know, you thought, well, they found an offensive line last year. Well, they were down to nothing. They were down to the guys who played, and the guys who played well.
So, well, and they really thought, like, on the offensive line, they really thought that, okay, we drafted Tevin Jenkins. He's going to be our left tackle. We got this Larry Borum. We're very excited. He might end up being a starter, and now here we are, both of those guys, Jenkins and Borum, injured, and the Bears are scrambling.
Yes, they are. Okay.
All right, you ready? You ready to move on? Shall we move on? Okay. Now, we talked about the pause that you and I had. This cut that I'm about to play of Bears offensive coordinator Bill Lazor, this cut didn't get enough attention this week because everybody was so zeroed in on the bogus argument that somehow Bill Lazor was selling out Matt Nagy because he said that Justin Fields is good. Everybody was jumping on that low-hanging fruit, which was not even a story. The more interesting soundbite came from Bill Lazor. Well, I think I left the question in. And Steve, get ready for the pause. Go ahead, Studs.
Coach Lazor, how much are you having to curtail what you do offensively around the state of your offensive line?
We did address it fairly well last week. Same question, but I'll do it again. I think that's what you do, is you every year, every week, every game, you look at your players. What's the best thing for them to do? How do we put them in the best situation to be successful? And that's football. That's coaching. So it's a trick question.
Well, you had two guys go down, though, in the game.
Yeah.
Different than last week. So just as far as in that game, we saw a lot of short passes, and I have to imagine.
I thought Elijah did an excellent job. I don't, as you know, I was not calling the plays, but I can speak, I think, for the staff to say that Elijah being in the game had zero effect, as far as I can speak, of what we did. I thought he handled himself great.
And to add one little piece to this, Steve, I was the one that asked the question the week before, and Bill Lazor also said that I was asking a trick question. That was Stacey Dales from NFL Network, who did the follow-up and also was accused of asking a trick question.
So trick questions are one where the NFL people have to answer honestly but don't want to. Is that how? Is
right.
That
well,
they...
I think that Bill Lazor's point is that it borders on game plan, like asking that question, and they don't obviously answer specific game plan questions. So I think that's the way he's processing it, even though I didn't mean to, nor did Stacey Dales mean to be like trying to figure out. It's more of a general, and I guess the answer he is saying yes, of course, that the offensive line is going to dictate what they can and can't do.
I like the pause. I counted five seconds, which is really a lifetime in a give and take.
Yeah, you guys know the term deafening silence. I think that was like textbook deafening silence.
Yeah, was and then, wow. Okay, how do I deflect things? They've got degrees up there in globalizing questions, deflecting questions, simple refusal to answer questions in Ryan Pace's case, just not to show up. So that's what they do. But you keep asking the questions, and then they're answers are exposed, lack of answers are exposed. That's what you're getting. That's why you're getting. You're well within your rights to ask that question, Mark, and so is Stacey Dales, because it's something the Bears did not. Their depth is a question right now. You got to pull a guy off a boat fishing, and he got hurt. What were the odds?
Right, and I'm not saying that reporters don't ask gotcha questions, because it does happen, but I don't think that was Stacey's intention, and nor was it mine. So, but that's Bill Lazor. Let's move on. Let's get into the defense a little bit, and we need to hear from the Bears defensive coordinator, Sean Desai, and specifically this seems like, you know, a year ago now, but we're going to rehash an unpleasant moment in that Rams game when neither doesn't it feel like because of how hyper we all are about the Bears, like each day is its own world, you know what I mean? Right. Like it's every day after a Bears game is like truly its own entity, so it makes it feel like a year ago that Eddie Jackson and Deshaun, all you have to do is touch the man and he will be down. That is correct. So here is Sean Desai on all that and the defense and stuff.
What were you thinking at the moment Van Jefferson goes down and either of the safeties touch him?
Yeah, you know, probably similar to what you guys were thinking. You know, what happened? Did they touch him or not? And obviously they didn't touch him. And so at that point, I mean, it's like everybody else. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't take that play back, right? So we got to get ready to go play the next play and fix those errors.
There's been a lot of talk from players, coaches, about accountability since you've taken over. When it's two veteran safeties who failed to touch a guy, simple play, how do you hold two veterans accountable? I mean,
no, you do it the same way you hold anybody accountable. The accountability standard doesn't change by years measured in the league. You know, our standard is the standard, and so everybody's held accountable to the same standard, regardless of your years and regardless of even me. I'm held to that same standard.
I'm just curious with regard to your manner. Is it more parental, or do you get angry at the two guys?
I mean, you're a parent, right? You got to pick and choose your battles of when you're getting angry and when you're being more parental, and that's the same way here.
That's Mark Potash, the father, right there, Steve Rosenblum.
The parent.
That's right. That's right.
Well, he sounded like a parent asking Sean Desai that question about being parental. So I don't know. There's no simple way about it. I guess in a previous era, the head coach would have gone over and yelled at those guys. You would have seen him on camera. You would have gone over there. This head coach is too busy with his Denny's menu of Nito torpedo plays that he doesn't realize there's another side of the ball on the field, and they're not looking so good. The question I thought of when I heard Sean Desai's answer, the get back and forth, then what battle would he pick? What if you can't? That's a long play. You didn't do the least that you could do, which was touch down a guy who torched your secondary, your veteran secondary, one of the highest paid guys on your team, who has been stealing money, frankly. So what's his battle? What is that battle where he doesn't just sort of parent them and and coaches them with a louder voice. What do you think?
What do you mean? What do you mean? It sounded like he was going to pair.
Okay, you guys, you got to touch them down. That's the way we do it around here. That's our standard. You guys got to play smart, fundamental football. At what point does he get mad? What is the play?
Yeah, well, right. Okay, I see what you're saying. And who knows what went on backstage in the meetings and while they were watching the tape. You know what I mean? Like one would hope and one would suspect that there was a little more than, you guys, come on, you got to do that. This is what we coach. But I got to tell you, like this is an indictment on Sean Desai, too. He had to have been embarrassed with some of the things that went on. It's his defense, and, he made it very clear when he was ready this week. Like, Sean Desai knew that the questions were going to be harsh. And, first thing he said is, hey, I got to coach better. But that's just, like, you're asking the question, did he get mad and show emotion? I bet you he did, because this is an indictment of him, a guy who has, risen to this position with the Bears after 8 years, underneath defensive coordinators. That's big for him. So I'd like to think that he probably got his point across this week, would just be my guess.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens when Joe Burrow hits a bomb and the receiver falls and see the Bears remember to touch him down. Let's take a break now. We come back with more of what Mark heard, because Mark heard a lot and there's much to discuss right here about the Bears. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
How ironic in our situation.
Yeah. A coach who loves all the gimmicks, gadgets, pretty shiny things, won't play the pretty shiny gadget gimmick. Head spinning quarterback.
Shiny, welcome in, welcome back. Happy people walking.
That's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Somewhere is Dave. And we need a Dave the Cat update.
Dave the Cat.
Halfway through this epic. And Dave the Cat usually leaves the room because he can't stand suckage.
No, actually, so Dave the Cat is on a big, comfortable white chair in my place right now, and he is laying down. He's about 3 feet from me, and he is snoozing, but he has not left the room, so that's pretty amazing. Hi, Dave.
Well, then we just simply are not doing our usual Hall of Fame level sucking the way that it usually drives Dave from the room.
Well, cats are like, from what I understand, they're like kids, because what's the saying? Never wake a sleeping baby? Is that it? Is that the
right
thing?
Yeah.
Right, because when my cat is up, he does, like, once he gets up from his nap, it's time. It's he's like, dude, you need to entertain me. Go get some of that fancy string you're always throwing around here, a couple of my toys. I'd like the fake mouse today. Oh, and I'd like a little bit of wet food. Oh, and now I'd like a little affection, and I would like you to let me out in the hallway. So, yes, it's a whole three-ring circus when he's awake of me entertaining him.
Wow, that's quite a presentation list. Trash Panda put together a presentation list for Dave the Cat the way he does for us? Just listing everything. Here's what we got. Here it goes. Boom, boom, boom.
It's cat dad life. People don't know this lifestyle. And the reason it's so great is that it's intermittent, the whole thing. Like, it's not constant. Like I said, right now my cat is sleeping. My cat has been sleeping for about 2 hours. and he will probably sleep for another hour at least. So this is like, it's a payoff. Like, I get a lot. We're very independent, Dave and I. You know, he's single, I'm single. We're totally cool, and there's just a few things that he needs to I provide for him, like I just laid out, and he provides for me just a loyal companion in my place.
I will say that I agree with you, Grody, on the cat dad thing. I'm going to adopt a cat dad. As I moved in with my girlfriend, she has two cats. And
oh,
so
nice.
They're either up in your face and won't leave you alone, or they're just sleeping.
Yes.
So, like, the one especially in the morning, the male anchovy, so we give them wet food in the morning, and then they have dry food they just pick at during the day, right? So, but he loves the wet food. The other one doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the other one's like, take it or leave it, but he's all about it. So he will be, like, on the bed as soon as my eyes open, like, on the bed, like, crawling all over me, like, hey, get up, it's food time,
yep.
Hello, hi, it's time.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's never a consistent time. Sometimes it's 7:30 in the morning, sometimes it's 10. Like, it's just whenever he feels like, oh, it's food time, hi, come on, get up.
Right. No, and Dave has been on in a bad habit lately. He's in a bad circuit of more. For some reason, he wants affection at 6:30 in the morning lately, and that is not going well. And like you said, like cats want he'll get up on my chest and then he'll just plop down. So it can be, and you have to give them that affection. Then you can't not do it. So that's the Dave the Cat report. He is here. He is happy. And who knows? Maybe he'll have an opinion or two by the time the show's over.
Well, that'd be great. We'll let Dave and Toby make picks for the rest of the NFL season.
Hey, Spiegel and Parkins had their kids doing picks. So if they could do that, I could definitely have my cat make picks.
Right. And Shane had his dog making a pick. So why can't...
Okay, see?
Yeah. Why can't Toby
one meow for the,
and Anchovy and Dave make picks?
One meow for the home team, two meows for the away team.
There you go. All right.
Right.
Just be dismissive of the whole idea that you're making picks. All right. So we were doing what Mark heard. Apparently he's heard nothing from Dave. So what did you hear elsewhere, Mark?
All right. So I have one more cut, and it is from the Bears captain for tomorrow. That is one of their captains, Andy Dalton, the Bears' starting quarterback. And I think the number one question for him still is, and whether he wants it to be or not, is the presence of Justin Fields and how he feels about Fields coming in intermittently.
We have obviously had plays for him last week, and you know, there's times where you know he's coming in. Sometimes you're just waiting on the next play, and then he calls it. So, you know, I didn't think it affected my rhythm at all. I was able to kind of hop right back in there and just continue out there.
Is it hard to come out, especially when you're in the red zone like that? Did it feel weird at all?
When we did it in the red zone, the second time got down and Justin scored. So, I mean, we're trying to score touchdowns. So that's, at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do.
And just to make tomorrow extra stressful for Andy Dalton in that regard, he has the presence of Justin Fields, Bears fans who are going to want him in, and he's going up against his old team, the Bengals, whom he actually beat last year when he was quarterbacking for the Dallas Cowboys. So he got the like initial wave of playing your ex-team out of the way, and it was in Cincinnati last year. So, but that part still exists, and he did admit that, yeah, I got a little extra something when it's the Bengals.
So he's just going to say what he's got to say. He's a veteran of not just NFL snaps. He's a veteran of press conferences, and he's not going to tell you, I don't want to come out in the red zone. I don't want this kid in there. This is my job.
Course.
I want to keep it.
Of
I mean,
course.
He's not going to get something honest like that. But
yeah,
the booing, I want to get back to that because of your compassion for the player, for his family, for the extended people getting booed. And the argument is you play the single most important position in sports and you're getting paid an exorbitant amount of money. One of the trade-offs is that. But your point was do it after performance. And I do think do you not think he's going to get booed running onto the field for the first offensive series?
You're probably right. You're probably right. No, the time to boo a guy is after he throws his second or third interception, not when he runs onto the field. You know, that's why I get itchy when that – and you're right. You're 100% right. And it's going to be – it's not only going to be that, but it's also going to be the calls for Justin Fields and the we want Justin Fields, which is just as demeaning, demoralizing, I would imagine, for him as well. And again, this is not me saying, like, Justin Fields shouldn't be in and isn't better, because I think he is better. It's just what you said. Unfortunately, I got a little compassion for that. Like, I just think there's misplaced booing is misplaced booing, and there's a place for it, and sometimes it sucks, and I will express my opinion about that, but I still won't tell people not to boo.
No, people, teams, people, coaches, they all realize you pay your money, that's what you get to do.
I guess.
You don't get to use all kinds of potty mouth language. You don't get to throw anything. You're allowed to vocally express in those terms, again, within standards of decency, express how you feel about it. But the idea that he didn't, you know, that it won't, I just see he's going to run onto the field. They'll get another 50-yard kickoff, right? This is such a naggy thing, such a Bears thing. They get a 50-yard kickoff out to their own 45, and he's going to run on with great field position against a team he played a lot of years for and made Pro Bowls for and holds records, I guess, or holds certainly his name is near the top. And then there's just going to be a whole lot of boos. Well, just hand off to David Montgomery and hope he goes 41 yards again, something like that.
What if they intro the offense before, you know, they intro the defense or the offense? So, yeah, I would imagine tomorrow they would make probably a shrewd decision to, even though the defense doesn't really deserve it this week, that they will be the ones that will be introduced on the loudspeaker.
I don't believe they'll introduce the offense at home until there's a change at starting quarterback.
Yeah, you're probably right.
There was we'll take another break. When we come back, Trash Panda was pretty passionate about something. Today is the anniversary. 7 years ago, there was an NFL record that was set that was not set by a Bear, but should have been. And lo, these many years later and everything else that's happened, it still chaps Trash Panda's ass. So I think we'll that was a Tim Floydism. That really chaps my ass.
The way you said that, it was so syncopated. Syncopated it. It really chaps his ass.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll let Trash Panda come back and complain, and he'll talk about NFL record that was set today, but not for the team he would have wished it would be set for. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Right. He's Mark Grody. This is Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Kanan, beautiful punt as Hester retreats to the 38, and he's passed everybody. Except the punter, and he breezes past him, and it's Devin Hester's night to high step. He's just broken Deion Sanders' record. He was tied with Deion for 19 career total return touchdowns. That's number 20. Standalone now at the top of the record books, Devin Hester.
Seven years ago today, Devin Hester, the legendary Bears returner, broke Deion Sanders' return record for touchdowns, but he didn't do it for the Bears. Should have done it for the Bears, did it for the Atlanta Falcons. And Trash Panda is still livid, lo these many years later. So why don't you... Trash Panda, why don't we use this as radiotherapy, unburden yourself, and share with the class?
Okay, so it's not really just the fact that Hester didn't break the record with the Bears. Like, that would have been fine to take had it not been for what happened the year previous. So 2013, so this was the first year under Mark Trestman. The Bears are on the road in St. Louis. I had the opportunity to go to the game with a good friend of mine who's also a huge Bears fan. So we're at the game, And this is the game that Benny Cunningham ran for like 200 yards against the Bears. Like, it was just a ridiculous game that the Bears really probably shouldn't have lost. But in the game, Devin Hester runs a punt back for a touchdown. And me and my buddy look at each other and we're like, oh my God, he just broke the record. Like, oh my God, we're here to see it. Like, we were all excited. And then there's a flag on the field. And Craig F. Steltz, F stands for something else, had been called for...
I think
for,
we got that idea.
Yeah.
Craig Steltz is called for, I don't remember exactly what the penalty was. It's either holding, quipping, something that had nothing to do with the rest of the play, nothing to do with Devin running the kickback. So the kick comes back, and fast forward a year, now 2014, that play we just heard happens. And instead of having seen Hester break the record for the in a Bears uniform in person, I had to watch him break the record in a Falcons uniform while I sat at home on my couch. And I'm still livid about it. Like, I texted my buddy immediately when Hester did that for the Falcons. I was like, dude, how, like, I'm so pissed. Like, we should have seen him do this. And instead we have to watch him do it for the Falcons.
I'm sorry for your stress.
Well, I know it's stupid. It's really dumb. It's like one of those like adjacent to greatness, witnessing greatness moments. And Devin Hester is like, along with Brian Urlacher, my favorite Bear ever. Like, I love Devin Hester. And so seeing him break the record at a game, like, I've only been to a handful of Bears games in my life. And him doing that in one of the few games that might have been my fourth ever Bears game. So seeing him do that in one of the few games I've actually been to would have been amazing, but instead I had to watch it from my couch the next year.
I'm very surprised that you've only been to five Bears games.
Well, you have to consider, again, you know, where I grew up. So I spent the first 27 years of my life nowhere near Chicago.
That's more than a day trip. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yes, it is.
The first Bears game I actually went to was I was 19, so it was 2009. I don't know if you guys remember, it was a lost season. But it was the first year that the Vikings had Brett Favre and the Bears beat them on Monday Night Football in overtime when Cutler hooked up with Devin Aromashidu.
Oh my God!
That was my first game. And what was funny about that game? Since we're going down memory road, me and my same buddy that I was at the Rams game with, we saw the touchdown coming because like we see like Cutler step back and point at Aromashidu, and we're like, oh, this is it right here. They're about to win, and just, you know, 5 seconds later, they won the game. So it was pretty cool.
The very tall Devin Aromashidu.
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, for like four games, he lit the world on fire.
Well, right. That was when Jay Cutler didn't have anybody like over 5'9" as a receiver, and he had always been comfortable with the Brandon Marshall go up and get it, Alshon Jeffrey type of guy. So he was like, get me somebody that's over 6 feet tall. And it happened to be Devin Aromashidu, who has his place in Bears history.
That moment right there. It's, yes. Hey, man. It's a great moment.
Did that begin your man crush on Cutler?
Maybe. I don't know. I was still
warming
up. You
had a man crush on Cutler?
No. Well,
yes. Yes, he does.
Because, people call it a man crush because I appreciate what Jay Cutler did in a Bears uniform more so than others. Because I believe that his failings here weren't entirely his fault, and not a lot of people seem to quite understand that.
But he did prove to not be a special quarterback, and I think that's what the Bears thought they were getting.
Yes,
so that's where
agree,
the disappointment comes.
I agree with that. Like, overall, his tenure with the Bears is a disappointment, but I also like have always contended as like, you look at the times they actually put a team around him, they were pretty damn good. Like, they went to the NFC Championship, a game they probably win if he doesn't get hurt. I know he played bad in the first half, but whatever.
Oh my God,
the next year they're rolling, and then he breaks his thumb and the season ends. You know? So, like, you have to, I think there's a lot to consider with Jay Cutler's legacy. And it's like, people look at the bad interceptions he threw, which he did, and, you know, he wasn't great with the media because he just didn't care. Like, I get it. But I think that, like, his failings here were not entirely on him. Like, it went both ways.
So what do you think of Jana Kramer?
I'm not even sure who that is. I stopped following Cutler.
Who's Jana Kramer?
No, you were our Cutler stalker.
Well, when he started showing who he really is, I kind of got turned off.
Is that his girlfriend, Janet Kramer, or whatever you just said?
Well, they were shown out in public. They were photographed publicly and willingly, as opposed to Jay flipping people off.
He was also shown publicly with Tommy Lahren at one point in time. So he's always just getting
This is it. They were all smiles and snuggles and snogging or whatever it is at the 12:30 club, and then they were spotted in South Carolina at a comedy show the following day. So this is, you know, the recently thrown back into the dating pool, Jay Cutler, and I really expect, you know, I expect a trash panda to be on top of this kind of stuff.
I do remember seeing this picture.
Get a whole profile.
I do remember seeing this picture now. Floating around somewhere, and I just kind of scrolled past it. It's like whatever. Good
it's
for
so
him.
Weird. I will say this about Jay Cutler. It's incredibly odd that he has gotten, like, he's the quarterback who dated a celebrity. He's the quarterback who, or the guy who was spotted with, you know, with Tommy Lahren. Like, it never fit his, he doesn't seem like the sports athlete that would date the celebrity. Like, he seems like the one who would want to get in the middle of nowhere and not be bothered by anybody and have his wife and his kids and then just excommunicate. But he's been quite the antithesis.
Well, he did try to excommunicate, like, but then his wife started that show and he just happened to be there and you know, he's just around being himself, so of course
no, but he couldn't have expected that if he was dating Kristen Cavallari. There's no way. He knew everything that he signed up for.
Good
and
point.
I didn't know he was that type of dude.
And you know, I don't know if you guys ever watched the show The League. Him and Kristen Cavallari were in that show for at least a couple episodes, maybe three,
about fantasy football. And he made that off day Dancing with the Stars flight to root for her. He was proudly
so
on camera on day after a Bears game. He flew
I was on the sidelines a couple of years ago, and Kristen Cavallari was in town because she was, whatever her store is called, she was promoting it. So she's down there on the sideline, Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari just hanging out with me down on the sideline and everybody else, shaking hands and smiling and talking and being salespeople.
Uncommon Jane, was that the name of it? Uncommon.
That was it. That was it. Yep. And he would. I will say this, Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
No, I think that's it. Uncommon Jane.
James.
He was playing
J A M E S, not James.
James? I thought it was James.
Uncommon James. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Jane. But yeah, no. I mean, he was being a good husband. Like you could tell, like he was, you know, being with his wife and talking to anybody that wanted to talk to him and just being all like huggy, cuddly, Jay Cutler.
So does his Hollywood, as we pointed out, the whole Hollywood thing and whatever he was comfortable, not comfortable, it surprised you. Does Aaron Rodgers' dalliances with actresses surprise you anymore, or is that same level?
Yeah, you know what? That's another good one. It's a little bit different, I think, with Aaron Rodgers just because of how great he is. So then I guess, like, if he's the All-American soon-to-be or someday going to be Hall of Fame, like, it matches up a little bit more with Aaron Rodgers, but even he, I would not have selected in my top five of great quarterbacks to go down that list either. Like, you're right. He doesn't seem – I think that's what you're saying. He doesn't seem like the type, does he?
He seemed any more than Jay Cutler did, but they're, you know, the quarterback always gets the cheerleader. That's just the way it works, right? That's why you play the position.
Yeah.
That's one of the happy byproducts of it. It has long been the case. Who's on your top five list of guys who would embrace that? Besides
right,
Joe Namath, he would be the first.
Okay,
Joe Namath.
It's then followed by Tom Brady.
That's true, yeah.
Then Tom Brady would be the next one. And then Tom Brady. And then probably, no. Okay, so obviously Tom Brady. You said Joe Namath. Who else? You know who seems like he could get into that is the guy that the Bears are facing this Sunday, an old Joe Burrow. And I have no idea. Maybe he's married. I have no idea. But he's got that moxie about him and all that, like, stuff going on. So I think he could... let's see, who else around? You know who I would have expected to have
there
been like that?
Yeah.
Would have been Cam Newton. I would have thought Cam Newton would have done the, like, because when he was at the, in the, you know, in his prime, he he was out there, man, right? You know, so I think that it surprises me that he has not gone down the celebrity road.
All right, well, there was Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson, right?
There you go. Very good. Tony Romo, definitely.
And you kind of, but he, that wouldn't really, it may have surprised you if you thought, oh, this guy comes from, you know, Buzzard's Breath, Wisconsin, and he somehow ends up in Dallas and somehow ends up being the star of a bunch of four-letter network commercials and things like that. And then, and he certainly, the position and the looks allowed him to, that's where it led, but I wouldn't have thought that those kind of beginnings would have landed him to that point.
Yeah.
And there was, I can't remember the name, who was it? Way back, an old NFL quarterback who was married to an actress.
How about?
I mean, it may not have been DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe, but there was an old quarterback, and I can't think of it right now.
What about
Russell Wilson and Ciara?
There you
go. I'm sorry.
That's
Sierra.
Great. Shame on us for forgetting that one. I could see Russell Wilson. You know who else would make my list would be one Jimmy Garoppolo, for sure. He's stunningly handsome. Again, don't know what his life is in that regard. I would say maybe Baker Mayfield, just because he's so gregarious and he loves the spotlight and the spotlight loves him. So mm-hmm. I can see it with him, perhaps. And but yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Russell Wilson one. That's a great one, and he is a good looking guy.
I did not want to miss this text. Our text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And we walked into this segment, such as we can backtrack, with Trash Panda's angst over Devin Hester setting the NFL record for return touchdowns in an Atlanta jersey and depriving Trash Panda of the chance to see it when he did it against the Rams. It was called back on a penalty by Craig F. Steltz. 206 texter. In fact, Trash Panda and his friends were so upset, they went out and slaughtered and field dressed a random deer.
You're going to get it.
Thank you.
Cannot confirm or deny.
Yeah, thank you, 206.
That could be factual.
630 texter. We saw Tony and Jessica at the Olive Garden in Janesville, Wisconsin.
More breadsticks, please.
Yeah. And yeah, very nice. 224. Terry Bradshaw was married at one time to JoJo Starbuck. Just a skater, not actress, so it wasn't strictly speaking a sort of coloring outside the lines there, but yeah.
I could see Ben Roethlisberger being one of those guys, right?
You know what? Yeah. That's sick. He's a sick guy. All right.
That's true.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk baseball with a guy who always has football walk-up music, and that's why we love Mark Gonzalez. We'll talk Sox playoff rotation and Cubs, why are they still playing? We'll do that next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.